This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 18th of September 2022. Today is the History of Amateur Radio edition, and we have a swag of historical items for your enjoyment. We have a wrap on last weekend's Ham Campshin, updates on Perth Tech, news on the Oceania DX Contest Committee's view on competitors from Russia and Belarus, and more on News West. News West can be heard on air online by podcast and video. Find out how to do all of these at our website vk6.net. You can contact the news team with an email to newswest@vk6.net. The team this week is Roy VK6 X-Ray Victor, Greg VK6 Lima Hotel, Paul VK6 Echo Mike Delta, and I'm Bob VK6 POP, the News West producer.
We have some very positive news about a joint RASA and WIA initiative. The use of the AX prefix commemorating the life of Queen Elizabeth II, next week, the 19th to the 23rd of September 2022. RASA and WIA presidents approached the ACMA this week seeking support for the use of the AX prefix to commemorate the life of Queen Elizabeth II. ACMA advised that the Radio Communications License Conditions Determination 2015 limits the use of the AX prefix to three specific days. The ACMA does not have the discretion to authorise the use of the AX prefix on any other days. However, ACMA noted the significance of the event and the desire of RASA and the WIA to commemorate the passing of Queen Elizabeth II by using the AX prefix. They advised that compliance action for the use of the AX prefix for the period requested would not be a priority for the ACMA. On this basis, we encourage VK amateurs to exchange the VK with AX prefix for the period 19th through to the 23rd of September 2022 in commemoration of Queen Elizabeth II. Vale Queen Elizabeth II.
Ham Campshin was held last weekend, and this short report came from VK6LD, and Rob said that 25 people attended, and they had caravans, campers, gazebos and swags, and these were scattered around the site. Big thank you to Darren, Mike and Dan, who put their hearts and souls into organising the inaugural 2022 Mayan Up Ham Campshin, and to everyone who attended. There's a lot that goes into planning and arranging and producing these events, and in the background, to make these into memorable events. I think it might be fair to say, said Rob, that it was even better than Darren expected. There were a few moments in the organising and arranging that we may have wondered, was this thing going to fly, but in the end, it all came together. And Rob says that we have plans for a bigger, better and more interesting Mayan Up Ham Camp in 2023, so make sure you keep a lookout for the next event, and that's possibly going to be in May. Thanks, Rob, for that quick cap. And here are some excerpts from an account by Graham VK6WCR. We enjoyed a relaxing drive down to Mayan Up, taking in all the sights along the way. We said hello to a few familiar wee faces at Gnomesville, and further along we noticed a few wineries and pubs that looked perfect for a drop-in and refreshments. A bit non-committal about whether they actually dropped in, though. We were met by our host Darren at the Mayan Up Recreational Area Horse and Pony Club, and here we set up camp. The cost was $10 each per night, and they were bargain basement prices, and after setting up camp, set up the radio gear, and other people gradually rolled in during the Friday afternoon setting up camp and their radio equipment as well. And at 6 p.m. we all met down at the fire pit, and some fire pit it was huge. And rag chewing began in earnest. A recurring theme was how so many of us had travelled the same old journeys over the years, lived and worked in the same remote areas, but at different times. And we had so many mutual friends. And for Graham, he said it was like a walk down memory lane, hearing all the changes that had come about in areas that he'd had at one time or another lived and worked in the past. So Graham's summary of the weekend, that this was a trial idea, and it was the first event. Darren, VK6EK, was the host, and Mike helped out, and Dan. Very successful weekend. Everyone I met, says Graham, is looking forward to the next one. So pencil in the month of May for a possible Ham Campshin in 2023. The format was kept simple and it worked great, and it allowed for everyone to feel like they were all part of one big family, catching up for a reunion. And people who attended were amateurs from our great southern region, including up to Perth, northern suburbs, and east to Gidgegun up, hey, that's me, and everywhere in between. Some of them members of various clubs and organisations, and some were just individual hams. And Graham said when he was leaving, Darren invited us all to attend the next one and asked him to pass on his personal invitation to all. And Graham said he'll be keeping in touch. Well, I'm sure we all will be, because it was a great weekend and one worth repeating. I enjoyed it very much myself, although that could have turned the heating up a bit. It was a bit frigid there on Saturday morning, I tell you.
The centenary of the first wireless message from the UK to VK. This item was derived from a story in the December 2018 edition of the Naval Historical Review. On the 22nd of September 1918, direct wireless messages from England were received in Australia, creating considerable public interest and causing a political controversy. The messages were transmitted from the Big Marconi station at Carnarvon in Wales and were received at the home of Ernest Fisk, the managing director of Amalgamated Wireless Limited. Two communications were sent, one from the Prime Minister of Australia, Mr. W. M. Billy Hughes, who was in England trying to raise enthusiasm for the Australian war effort in Europe. This was because the public support was waning following the disastrous English military leadership of the Australian forces. The second message was from the Minister for the Navy, Mr. Joseph Cook, who had accompanied Hughes to the UK. Australia's efforts to sell its farm produce to England were being frustrated by the English farmers and their unions, which explains the nationalistic tone of the wireless messages of Hughes and Cook. As it happened, Germany capitulated soon after this event, and both men then took part in the peace conference and the subsequent negotiations in November 1918. The AWA published a souvenir document of the event with the heading "The First Direct Wireless Messages from England to Australia." A reproduction of the actual message forms as supposedly written down in Sydney, along with this statement. These messages were transmitted from Marconi's Wireless Telegraph Company from the Marconi Transatlantic Station at Carnarvon in Wales on September 22, 1918. The messages were received by Mr. E.T. Fisk, member of the Institute of Radio Engineers and managing director of Amalgamated Wireless Limited at his experimental wireless station in New South Wales, with apparatus designed and manufactured in Sydney by Mr. Fisk and the staff of Amalgamated Wireless Limited. The story can be read at the Naval History website, that's navyhistory.org.au. Again, that's navyhistory.org.au. It's a good read. Take a look for yourself.
And this item from Greg comes from the Amateur Radio magazine, September 1952.
So, radio is a young man's game. Don't you believe it? As a profession, maybe, but as a hobby, well, you're never too young or too old. Take Skipper Schofield, VK6WS, for example. VK6WS makes no claim to be the oldest ham in VK6 from the point of the greatest number of years spent pursuing the hobby, but he does claim to be the oldest in the true sense. Not many men approaching 60 set to and study for their AOPC, but Skipper did and got his ticket in the early 1930s. Now, at 78, VK6WS is still active, mostly on 7 megs these days, but hoping for a return of good conditions to 20 metres, his favourite pre-war stomping ground. 40-metre activity results from a Type 3 Mark II, but the main rig is VFO-controlled, finishing with a T50 in the final. Operation can be had on 80, 40, 20, and 10. There's a commander communications receiver to bring the signals in, and a dual 20 and 10-metre beam power-driven to push Skipper's signal out. The original rack and panel frame, which VK6WS built, is still in use, although, as Skipper himself says, the innards have been altered many times from the old tri-tet and a PMG-type carbon mic. A qualified accountant and a justice of the peace, Skipper is now living in retirement after 30 years in business as a hotel and business broker. His chief interests, aside from ham radio, are gardening, photography, and cigars. A question he'd very much like answered is, has any other division a member with as many or more milestones to his credit? Any takers? VK6WZ.
This article is from the Mail in Adelaide from Saturday the 19th of April 1952 with the heading Amateur Radio Aid Plan. Radio amateurs are planning an Australia-wide emergency transmitting scheme, and more than 200 South Australian hams are solidly behind it, said radio ham Mr. W.J. Bulling of Kirkcaldy. He returned this week from the Australian Wireless Institute's annual conference in Sydney, where he was the South Australian delegate. Most of Australia's radio amateurs belong to the Institute, including more than 200 licensed in Southern Australia. Mr. Bulling said the plan, which was discussed at the conference, would not need much organisation. The equipment is already installed in amateurs' homes. If a flood or fire brought down telephone lines and cut other communications between towns, the amateurs would take over. They would have to be given permission to use police and ambulance wavelengths to be really effective, said Mr. Bulling. This work has already been done on a small scale, but the conference now wanted to make the scheme Australia-wide. The transmissions would only be on short wave, but by getting permission to use the police wavelengths, an amateur in a town without police radio transmissions could get in touch with the town with police radio transmissions. I wonder how far that scheme has progressed. Was this the precursor to Wison? If you know, drop us a line at vk6.net.
This is VK6 ARN, and you're listening to News West.
This news item from May 1952 was syndicated around just about every newspaper in the country. However, this one was selected for the name of the newspaper. The item is from the Friday, 9th of May 1952 edition of the Don Dorigo Gazette and Guy Fawkes Advocate, New South Wales. And the heading was Frequencies for Amateur Radio Stations. The Postmaster General, the Honourable H.L. Anthony, said this week, in order to give effect to decisions reached by the Extraordinary Administrative Radio Conference, which concluded in Geneva on December the 6th last, and at which Australia was represented, a new band of frequencies between 21,000 and 21,450 kilocycles would be made available to Australian amateur radio stations as from the 1st of May 1952. Similar arrangements are being made by both the United States of America and New Zealand administrations, as from the same date Australian amateur enthusiasts would be deprived of the use of frequencies between 7,150 and 7,200 kilocycles and 14,350 and 14,400 kilocycles, which henceforth would be occupied by stations operating in the broadcasting and fixed services, respectively. Mr. Anthony said that the alterations were necessary to commence implementation of the frequency allocation table agreed upon by the Atlantic City 1947 Radio Conference. Well, that's the end of the story, but you're wondering about the lifespan of a newspaper called the Don Dorigo Gazette and Guy Fawkes Advocate. Well, so was I. In fact, it ran for 44 years from 1910.
From the Daily News, Perth, WA, Saturday, 6th of September 1952, article reads, Radio Amateurs Get Together. Youth and age were much in evidence at the first combined annual dinner of the Radio Society of WA and the Wireless Institute of Australia WA Division. Last night, amongst the 65 amateur enthusiasts, were WA's oldest radio ham, 78-year-old W.S. Skipper Schofield, and a keen 15-year-old. Guests present were President Roger Choate of the Institute of Radio Engineers and PMG radio inspector and veteran amateur A. Gray. Another veteran was Wireless Institute President W.E. Coxon, one of WA's pioneers in amateur radio, who helped put 6 Whiskey Foxtrot on the air and is now associated with the Flying Doctor Radio Service. Also present at the event were patron of the Wireless Institute and Superintendent of Technical Education in WA, Mr. W.G. Heyman, and long-standing amateur radio operator, Mr. R.W.S. Hugo, President of the Radio Society of Western Australia.
Here at News West, we make the claim that amateur radio news broadcasts commenced in Western Australia in 1931. And here's the news item on which we base that claim. From the Daily News, Monday the 23rd of March 1931, under the heading Wireless Institute Activities. On Saturday afternoon, a party of members from the Wireless Institute paid a visit to the Telegraph operating room where, with Mr. R. Butcher, acting superintendent of telegraphs as mentor, the party was shown the working of many intricate and interesting machines. Perhaps the most interesting was the Murray Multiplex, a truly marvellous instrument which transmits and receives at high speeds. The teletype machine also claimed the attention of many. The president, Mr. Madden, thanked Mr. Butcher for the personal interest he had taken in the visit. A visit at an early date will be made to the Cottesloe Automatic Telephone Exchange, claimed as the most up-to-date in the state. This will be followed at intervals by trips to other places of interest to members. The Institute's transmitter, VK6WI, will go on the air on phone on Saturday evening, March the 28th, using the 80 metre band. This will be a test transmission in preparation of the dissemination of Institute news to country members, technical lectures to members, and the testing of the set for phone and demonstration of the principles involved for members preparing for their AOPC certificates. There will be a transmitters meeting on Thursday next at the residence of Mr. Stan Owens in Mount Lawley.
On HF, VHF, and UHF via the VK6 linked repeater network and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
The former forestry settlement at Ludlow, which is near Capel, is undergoing a restoration project. The first cab off the rank is the now restored district office. There's an opening ceremony on Sunday, the 9th of October, with the opening by the member for Forest, Nola Marino. The Ludlow radio room was located at the administration building and it was a typical forestry radio room and was most likely equipped with an AWA FS6 transmitter receiver. The intention is to restore the radio room to working condition with the assistance of radio amateurs. So that's where you guys come in. An amateur radio club that could be Bunbury. I'm sure they're looking for something to do. Or just a couple of local amateurs, and I know there's plenty in the area, who might like to put their heads together and their shoulders to the wheel and mix their metaphors and contribute to what's going on at that project. I think it'd be a great idea. The contact is Bill Biggins, and the contact details are on their website, and the website is ludlowtuartforest.org.au. So it's Ludlow, L-U-D-L-O-W, Tuart, T-U-A-R-T, Forest, F-O-R-E-S-T, all one big long word, no spaces, .org.au. And there's a Contact Us page and all the contact details are there. So perhaps you could rock up at the opening ceremony and have a look around the project and find Bill or email him beforehand and get involved. It sounds like a great project and I'm sure most amateurs are sitting around waiting for something to do. Now, last week in my comments on politics and amateur radio, I made reference to the Oceania DX contest, which had announced that points may not be gained from contacts in Russia and Belarus. I'd like to claim all of the credit for influencing the OCDX committee to review their decision. However, there were other people in the VK contesting community questioning the correctness of the stance as well. And during the week, on Tuesday, this announcement appeared on the OCDX website, heading the Review of Decision to Limit Participation of Russian and Belarusian Stations in the 2022 OCDX Contest. And the committee have said this, "We have received some vigorous feedback, mainly from the VK contest community, about the decision to limit the participation of Russian and Belarusian stations in the 2022 OCDX Contest. In light of this feedback and the recent change in policy for the treatment of Russian and Belarusian stations in the CQWDX contest, the OCDX contest committee is reviewing its decision on this matter. We expect to be able to announce the outcome of this review by the 18th of September 2022. There's been no release as of today, which is Friday, when I record the news at lunchtime, so you can expect that the announcement might be made before this news goes to air. So listen out for it and look at their website, oceaniadxcontest.com.
A good way to encourage someone's entry into a hobby is to acknowledge their achievement by welcoming them into the hobby. Next weekend, News West does just that when we take a look at the new amateurs. We'll congratulate those who have newly earned call signs, be it first-timers or upgrades and call sign changes. And on top of that, we'll present items to inform new hams, or perhaps give the more elderly in the hobby something to think about and ideas of what you could get up to. What's your experience as a new ham? How about telling us your story and your entry into the hobby? We'd love to hear from you. If you're unsure how to go about it, shout out on newswest@vk6.net.
NewsWest is now available in video format through the great efforts of Wayne VK6VE. It's up there each week on the NewsWest YouTube channel. Simply ask YouTube for NewsWest and there it is, or go to the VK6.net website and click on the link. The real value in the video version is the ability to add still or video images of anything amateur radio, and people can sit there gazing at your images whilst listening to NewsWest. So here's where you come in. First, you got to give the images to us. Your images and video can be included in the NewsWest video version. Simply send us any images, videos, club promos, or anything really. Well, almost anything. We like to retain our PG rating. Please send your bits to videos@vk6.net. That's videos@vk6.net, and we'll do the rest.
Covering Western Australia and beyond, this is NewsWest, brought to you by WA Amateur Radio News, on air, online and on demand. This is VK6 ARN and I'm Mark, VK4 MHQ.
We're in countdown mode for Perth Tech. There's only 5 weeks to go. What we need from you now is for you to register so that we can have everything in place to make your experience the best. We have an excellent lineup of speakers with something for everyone. From next week, we'll have short interviews with presenters every week. And did I tell you about the catering? You won't regret it. I've seen the menu, and it's great, and all prepared on-site by professional caterers. The day raffle is reason enough to attend. Tickets will only be on sale on the day, on-site. The prize pool has passed $1,700, and thanks to the clubs and individuals who have donated. Raffle tickets are $2 each, and the plan is to sell them in bundles of five, because with all those prizes, one ticket isn't enough. We're not planning to make a profit on the raffle, so it all goes back into the raffle. If you or the club would like to donate to the prize pool, please get in touch by email to perthtech@vk6.net. Now, just to recap how to book for Perth Tech, the main event is Saturday the 22nd of October, commencing at 8:30 a.m. And the cost for that is $20, non-negotiable, and it's a contribution towards the cost of catering and a couple of other little things. Straight afterwards, in the late afternoon, early evening, is a sundowner scheduled to go for about 2 hours. The bar will be open where you buy your own drinks, and the cost for the sundowner for the bit of food that's going to be there is $15. Now, there's caravan and camper parking available on site for Friday night and Saturday nights, and that's $12 per night, and that's a pass-on charge to the recreation club. Friday night we'll see some sort of a free activity for campers. We don't know what it's going to be yet, but I'm sure it'll be there and enjoyable. And there'll be workshops on Sunday morning, and those are free, and the venues are to be advised. You can register for Perth Tech at our vk6.net website, and all of the options can be booked and paid for online. You can also go back and add options later on if, for instance, you decide to take your caravan or go to the sundowner after all. And we're still looking for people who'd like to conduct a workshop on Sunday. The workshop can be a subject of your choice and doesn't have to be directly related to any of the presentations on Saturday. And those workshops can be conducted anywhere, so give us a shout and see what happens. These are usually conducted at no cost to the participants. The Perth Tech email address is perthtech@vk6.net, and our website is vk6.net, and go to the Perth Tech tab, and that's where you can do your bookings right there on our website. Payment is by credit or debit cards, and I think even PayPal.
Good morning, this is Roy, VK6XY Victor, with this week's helpline for the 18th of September 2022. I was there last week, but I missed the cut by one day or 24 hours, and was on the email. I did send out the email, but today we have the following for you: looking for a 23 centimeter transceiver, preferably mobile unit rather than a handheld, says Kevin, VK6 Kilo Quebec. He's looking for a 23 centimeter transceiver. If you can help him out, please call him on 0429 788 898. Again, 0429 788 898. or email vk6kq@wia.org.au. Okay, next group of items comes from Wayne, VK6 Victor Echo. He has a 16-element Yagi folded driven element on a 2.05 25mm boom, $30. Very low SWR across the 430 MHz band. Contact Wayne on 0450 140155. That's a 16-element folded dipole and driven antenna. Telephone number is 0450 140155. And recapping on last week's missed items, a free coaxial cable used and condition unknown. There's 40-meter labelled Andrews LDF50 fitted with male N-type connector on one end. That's LDF550A. Approximately 28 meters of the same looking cable with an N-type connector, and approximately 24 meters of similar looking cable with an N-type female connector, and all come with a 90-day money-back guarantee, so you can't go wrong there. Call Mac. His email address, vk6mike@iinet.net.au/alpha-uniform. Next, Greg was looking for an ICOM IC718 HF transceiver in working order. Call Greg on 0417-900-874. Next item, Kurt has a Create Design 318 Junior 4-element tribander, 10, 15 and 20 beam for $500. Call Kurt, VK6 Kilo Charlie, 0414-500-959, 0414-500-959. Gerard, VK6 Quebec Mike, has the following: Asatagi Lima Alpha 1080 amplifier for 2 meters and 70 centimeters, $150 or best offer. Has a Yaesu Fox Tango 757GX2 with FC700 antenna tuning unit, including manuals, $250 or best offer. Also has a linear amplifier KW1000 linear amp, $500 or best offer. All inquiries to VK6 Quebec Mike at his email address, vk6qm@westnet.com.au. That's Gerard, VK6 Quebec Mike. Address, VK6 Quebec Mike, westnet.com.au. We also have a ICOM Pro UHF transceiver with Perth frequencies channels, repeater channels programmed, including a mic, mobile mounting bracket, a CS400 Pro software disc and a Sunderly programming cable, cheap at $55. Call Wayne, VK6 Victor Echo, 0450140155. And finally, wanted is a antenna ferrule. It's a tapered ferrule for an antenna with 3/8 thread on one end. Basically a stainless steel wire antenna with two locking grub screws. Please contact Mark, VK6 Bravo Sierra Alpha at iinet.net.au. That's VK6 Bravo Sierra Alpha at iinet.net.au. And that's it for me this week. I hope I get in this week. VK6 X-ray Victor now clearing. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening.
There's something to be said about amateurs. When they get together, they always seem to have something to talk about. I reckon we need more events like last week's Ham Camption, and your next opportunity to get together with amateurs is Perth Tech, so just be there. Thanks to the team who put the news to air and take callbacks, you're real champions. Thanks to the studio team and to Wayne for assembling the video version of News West. All that's left to do now is to thank you for listening, and if you're on air, please stick around for the callbacks. And if that's not possible, jump online and record your call back there at vk6.net. Then there's nothing left for you to do but to get on air and make some noise.